Afternoon.
I'm Wu Jiajian, and I'm going to be talking to you about our work on efficient search of music pitch contours. First, I'm going to just start with a short overview about content-based music search, especially melody-based music search. First, we need to define what we mean by main melody. The exact musicological definition is probably a lot more complicated, but we're just going to use something that's accepted in the music information retrieval community, which is the single monophonic pitch sequence that a listener might reproduce if asked to whistle or hum a piece of polyphonic music, and that a listener would recognize as being the essence of that music when heard in comparison. So based on this definition of main melody, we're just going to make it even further looser and just assume that melody means dominant pitch contour, which in turn we're going to assume means dominant fundamental frequency contour. And of course, all three of these concepts, you know, are actually subtly different, especially not only between melody and pitch, but also between pitch and fundamental frequency. But here we're just going to loosely assume that fundamental frequency, under some kind of mathematical notion of dominance, defines the main melody. So we know that searching music based on melody is a very interesting problem. People have done it for a long time. Query by humming is a very well-known application. In doing this task, there are different methods of representing melodies for music search. And the most well-known is note transcriptions or note interval transcriptions. So if you have some kind of melody, and then, for example, as you can see in this example here, you can just represent a melody as a sequence of notes, C4, D4, E4, G3, G3, or even just model the transitions between notes, such as up, down, repeat. And using these transcriptions, people have been quite successful in doing query by humming. Another method is to just use the continuous or frame-based pitch contour. Note the quotes that I have around continuous, because it's not really continuous. It's still a sampled digital signal. But nevertheless, we call it continuous because it still pretty much resembles a smooth curve. So just to give you an example, in this example here, at the top you see a log frequency spectrum. It's actually a small segment of a Beatles song, and then based on that you can extract some kind of dominant F0 contour that you can see at the bottom. And again, you have a time axis, and then you have a frequency axis, and you just basically just plot the evolution of the dominant FO, and this is what we're going to call the continuous FO contour. Now, the reason why this is interesting is, I'll get to that in a bit, but let's see how we would actually do a melody-based music search using that. So this is just an example. You have a query melody that you can see here, and then you have a much longer target music piece that's in maybe some kind of music database, and you can see that there's a small part of that target that very closely resembles the query, and it's just one small segment of that target. Now, and the object of music search is to, given this query, you try to match it up with that part in the target. Now, already you see that there's, you know, a number of problems that you have to solve here. For example, the length of the query here is about 17 seconds, but then the corresponding part in the target is maybe a little over 10 seconds. So the target has a higher tempo. It's been sung faster than the query. So you have to be able to adjust for that difference in tempo. There can also be differences in the musical key. So maybe the query has been sung at a higher key or at a lower key compared to the target. So when you do music search, first of all, you have to be able to search all possible starting locations of each target, because people may sing, you know, starting from the beginning of some song, not necessarily at the beginning. People may start singing at the middle of the song. You want to be able to adjust for differences in speed or tempo, adjust for differences in key. People may also have some inconsistencies in rhythm and pitch within their singing. So dynamic time warping is a very popular technique that's used to compare two different sequences of pitches for doing music search. And then there's been other state-of-the-art fingerprinting or hashing techniques that have allowed very efficient and effective search using the note transcription data. That's the example where I showed you, where you maybe have a sequence of notes or a sequence of transitions. It has, however, also been suggested that instead of using these note transcriptions, using the continuous pitch contours that we just saw, can work better. And the primary argument for this is that the note transcriptions can only be very reliably obtained from monophonic music. If you have polyphonic music, then your note transcriptions very easily break down. If there are errors in the pitch transcription from the polyphonic music, the note transcriptions can compound those errors. So people have suggested just working on these original continuous pitch contours. Of course, that's a problem because the amount of data is much larger compared to just using the notes, so it's very computationally expensive. So if, for example, in our previous examples, if you had maybe five notes, if you're using the note transcription, then your input data is just five values. But if you're using the continuous pitch contour, it can be hundreds and hundreds of values if you're sampling every 32 milliseconds. So in order to try to use these continuous pitch contours while also efficiently doing music search, we previously proposed a method of indexing melody fragments using a set of what we call time normalized and key normalized wavelet coefficients and storing these coefficients in a KD tree to search them efficiently. There was a lot of mathematical detail that went into this that I won't get into here. The problem with this method is that it just compares whole melody fragments too rigidly. It just uses a simple Euclidean distance between different melody fragments. It does not really allow within query changes in the rhythm, although it does allow differences in tempo. So to really do this problem properly, we have to do some kind of dynamic time warping. So let's just take a look at what exactly how the dynamic time warping can be formulated. So if you assume some query sequence Q, which is just a set of pitch samples, and then you have a target sequence P, the classic DTW equation is what you see here. You basically assume you have R warping operations, and you set up your total cost as a summation of costs along your warping dimension or warping operation dimension. And the path that you take along this path is defined by these warping functions, phi of Q and phi of P. This is just from just very traditional speech recognition or other pattern recognition texts. And here, we just define the distance between a query value and a pitch value as the Euclidean distance. Now, note that here, though, we also have an extra parameter called the B, which actually represents the difference in the musical key between the query and the pitch, because as you can see in the calculation of the distance, you also have to take into account that the query can be sung at a different key from the different target, so you can't just subtract the two values, you have to add some kind of offset. And you add here because the frequencies are log frequencies, so a key shift in the log frequency domain just becomes a constant bias. So the B is some bias factor modeling the difference in musical key, and we can, of course, constrain this to remain roughly constant, which does make sense. If you just let the B change for every single different pitch value, it wouldn't make any sense at all. You have to assume that both the query and the target, they may have different keys between each other, but you still maintain your key within that song. So I may sing higher than John Lennon, but then I will still maintain my musical key, even though I choose a different one. So I'm free to choose whatever key I want. So you can replace the B sub I with just a constant value of B. But even in this case, when you actually try to do the dynamic programming to minimize this whole equation, you basically have to compute values over three-dimensional space. You have your query axis, you have your target axis, and then you also have to try every single possible difference in the musical key. So you have to compute all the costs in a Q times P times B space. So the cost is just too high. An original study that tried to use musical pitch contours actually did exactly that. So to address this concern, people have proposed different ways. And What we did was to speed up the DTW, we partitioned the query into segments, treating each segment as a rhythmically consistent unit. Now this idea of partitioning up queries or melodies into segments, that's not really new. I mean, people have done it in one form or another. What we did here, though, is there are a number of mathematical issues that you have to handle in terms of how the bias can change and things like that. And so these are just more algorithmic details that are in the paper, so I won't really get into them here. What really matters is that we are just dividing up the query into segments, and this drastically reduces the amount of computation, and we propose a framework for doing this. So this can actually solve quite elegantly using just a very classical level building, but with just one subtle difference. It's kind of like in connected word recognition, like the classical word recognition technique that maybe you've seen the Rabiner Zhuang speech recognition book, where you build upon levels where each level represents one word segment. And here we have a query that's divided up into different segments, but then we also introduce what we call something like buffer zones between the query segments. And these are employed to allow the matching target segments to overlap. And that provides a much greater flexibility in the DTW. If you don't allow this overlap, then you introduce too much rigidity into the system. So all this, it can be done quite elegantly with a level building scheme. So we actually implemented this, and we ran this on the MIRC 2006 test set. And these are just some mean and standard deviations for the average search time per query that you could achieve using these techniques. And what you see at the bottom are just asymptotic search costs that's associated with each different type of search technique. MTW is actually our original work, where we just rigidly try to compare melody fragments together using a simple Euclidean distance, and for that, that each search, or I should say each comparison, can just be done in constant time because it's just a Euclidean distance. Multiscale query windowing is just a variation of that, and the search cost is going to be asymptotically a big O of N, where N is the number of query segments. And then the segmented DTW is our proposed method, for which the search cost is n times p, where, again, n is the number of query segments, and p is the length of your target signal. And the DTW is the brute force DTW that I originally showed you in the sort of optimum equation. And for that, the search cost is p times q times b. Again, you have to do it over all three dimensions. So the search time for this is the greatest. And you can obviously see that in actual experimentation, multiscale target windowing is, of course, the fastest, and the MQW, the multiscale query windowing, followed by our proposed SDTW, is much slower, but still 0.64 seconds per query. This wasn't a very bad figure. And then we just estimated the amount of time it would take if we used the brute force optimum DTW, which you see is takes much longer than any of these given methods. In terms of the search performance, we found that the segmented DTW obviously is going to give the best performance because, again, it does an actual dynamic time warping between queries, and it can handle rhythmic inconsistencies and all these other variations that the MTW or the previous MQW can't. And you can see that the MRR that we got was 0.838. This is actually much lower than the state of the art, which is higher than 0.9. However, in that particular work, there was a constraint that all queries started at the beginning of melodies or melodic phrases. In our case, we searched every possible location in all the songs in our database, and so our search space is much larger, and there's much more room for error. So to be on an equal footing with the state of the art, we also tried constraining all our queries to start at the beginning of melodies, and that gave us an MRR of 0.921, which is almost the same as the state of the art. And we also tried it on a preliminary polyphonic music set which we just created on our own using commercial pop song recordings. So these are actual acoustic polyphonic music recordings from which we did just some kind of automatic dominant F0 extraction and then ran our tests on that. And obviously the results are going to be much lower because we're using polyphonic music, and there's going to be lots of errors in the pitch transcriptions. But again, our proposed method was still able to give the best performance. So, and this is just showing the relation between the number of query segments that you use versus the MRR and the search time. The more segments that you have, basically the closer you get to the optimum DTW. So your MRR is going to go up, but then at the same time, your search time is also going to go up. So that's pretty much it in terms of this work. If there are any questions? Yes.
Is there any more efficient way of trying to find the bias, like the BI in your task?
Yes.
Is there any faster way than trying every possible B?
Oh.
Yeah.
While trying every possible B?
Yeah, then that could be very large if you want a smaller resolution, right?
Right. So, I mean, if you're just going to try every possible B, by definition, you're trying every possible B. So, I mean, you could try using some kind of heuristics maybe to reduce your search space in terms of the B instead of trying all those possible values of the subset. In our work, we just did a simplification so that we'll use some kind of optimum B that's estimated just using the first query segment, and that's how we were able to just eliminate that whole search space. But there are probably other heuristic methods that you could apply there.
Thank you.